This is an ABC podcast.
The Barkly Tablelands of the Northern Territory. They're regarded as the engine room of the NT's cattle industry. The region is famous for its black soil plains covered in Mitchell grass. It's home to well-known stations like Brunette Downs, Newcastle Waters, Alexandria. But is this famous cattle region facing a grass problem? Alison Kane is a pastoral production officer with the Territory's Department of Industry and has written an article that is called What Has Happened to the Mitchell Grass on the Barkly? I spoke to Alison and her colleague Chris Matern about the Mitchell grass concerns in the Barkly.
Yeah, so it's a really interesting subject, Matt. Certainly, you know, we all know that the Barkly's had a really dry few years now, and there was some concern that the Mitchell grass was actually dying, so not just dormant after the drought, but there was some real concern that it was dying. And of course we all know that the Mitchell grass is really important for both the dry season but also the dry years, and it's what makes the Barkly so productive in the longer term. So that was really the reason for putting this article together, was to have that discussion about Mitchell grass and how it recovers from drought.
Also joined today by Chris Matern from the department. Chris, you've spent a bit of time in the Barkly speaking to cattle producers about Mitchell grass. What are you hearing?
Yeah, look, I was up there a couple of weeks ago and I had the opportunity to talk to a few producers from across the Barkly. And what I was sort of had been hearing a lot of widespread Mitchell grass deaths, but we sort of really wanted to go up there and sort of get a better idea of what was actually happening. And by talking to the producers, it was mixed. They didn't seem as concerned as what we first thought. But what the we've sort of got this impression that it's from what we've seen is actually it's patchy. It's not big widespread problem that we first thought. But there definitely has had the dry has definitely had some impact on Mitchell grass and the density of the Mitchell grass around the place.
So if it's patchy, is it simply because of that drought?
Well, funny that, because I had the opportunity to go up there and have a look on one of the stations, and yes, the dry has caused the Mitchell grass to become a little bit vulnerable, and there is definitely evidence of Mitchell grass death where I saw it. But it wasn't just the dry. There's a couple of things that might be happening that we actually picked up. On the station we actually visited, the Mitchell grass on the higher country wasn't too bad. There was, you know, there was the odd dead plant and parts of tussocks that were still alive. You know, was quite pleasing to see. But what we did notice was on the low-lying areas, there was a lot of broad death of Mitchell grass, and it looked like it was actually potentially influenced by a flooding event, where Mitchell grass doesn't like being flooded for too long, and so it could be a bit of a combination of being stressed from the dry times, but then followed up by a quite a big storm which the manager told us about, and this area actually went under water for quite a long time, and that probably was the thing that finished those tussocks off in those low-lying areas.
What about land management practices that may differ from cattle station to cattle station? Are you noticing some properties are dealing with this better than others?
Oh, definitely. Land management has an influence on the vigour and the health of the Mitchell grasslands. It's a very resilient pasture. It's quite tough and can actually take quite heavy grazing, periods of quite heavy grazing, but it doesn't like consistent heavy grazing. And that's where the land management comes into it. And it definitely... When we come to looking at Mitchell grass health, land management is one of those things that is sort of an ongoing challenge to keep your Mitchell grasslands and the Mitchell grass tussocks in healthy condition. And that you've got a lot to do with stocking rates and being able to spill it to give it time to recover from these periods of dry times or even flooding events. And so, yeah, land management definitely can help in its survival to get through these tough times.
Alison Kane, if I run a cattle station in the Barkly and my Mitchell grass is not performing as well as I'd like, what is the advice on how to improve the situation?
Yeah, well, actually, there's quite a few things that people could look at, so that's pretty cool. So Mitchell grass does respond quite well to wet season spelling. Most people probably find that it's obviously easier to spell for the entire wet season rather than move cattle in and off. So it does respond well to wet season spelling. It's really good to have areas that aren't grazed all the time either. It's quite interesting to note too that over the years, as you know, infrastructure has increased on the Barkly and grazing pressure has spread out over larger areas, we don't necessarily always have ungrazed areas that are provide a good seed store for, you know, when we need to regenerate landscapes. So, yeah, where we can, it's good to be able to keep Mitchell grass where it can seed, and we can make the most of getting some seed back into the landscape. And even fire might be situational for some people. They might actually be able to use some fire. There's not a lot of work done on fire on Mitchell grass country, but there's some evidence that after it's been burnt, Mitchell grass can grow quite vigorously, and that helps it to get quite robust and set more seed for, you know, drier periods. So there's quite a few options. It's the challenge of land management is that there's not a recipe to follow. It's kind of like learning and understanding the ecology of what's happening and how we can put grazing into that mix.
Does it seed at a certain time of year?
Mitchell grass is sort of actively growing over the wet season, over the summer months. And so that's when, obviously, you're going to get some sort of seeding. But the amount of seed that a Mitchell grass tussock actually produces depends on the season itself. Usually when you have a nice early start to the season and a nice long growing season, you can get more seed. But the interesting thing is fire. Fire really does stimulate seed production on the Mitchell grassland.
Right.
And so it really depends on the season. It depends on how much seed is produced. But, you know, the better the wet season, the more likely are you going to get good seed production.
We might add then too, Matt, that once you've got your seed and you've got some germination, then it's really important to, you know, allow those seedlings time to become really robust plants before grazing comes back in. Even if they're not physically grazed, trampling can be a big deal for recovering Mitchell grass plants as well.
The event of actual germination is actually a rarer thing. Mitchell grass doesn't germinate every year. And so a germination event is actually probably the one thing that we sort of really look for on the Mitchell grasslands. And if you do get a germination event, they're the years that you really want to try and get those seedlings established.
And I know earlier, Chris, you said cattle producers are saying, oh, no, it's not that bad. But do you feel they would confess if things were looking pretty ordinary out there in the Barkly?
Oh, look, there's definitely patches where it has suffered, and I'm definitely not going to deny that. The health generally across the Barkly, the Mitchell grass, has suffered to some extent over the last couple of years. It varies across the Barkly, but I suppose at this point in time is a lot of it had to do with a natural event, and it's something we have to learn how to manage. And I think from this point on, it's really about what have we got now, and really work with that to try and bring it back up to its former glory, which is quite a productive landscape.
It's an interesting article. It's called What Has Happened to the Mitchell Grass on the Barkly? You can read it via the Future Beef website. Just before I let you go, Alison Kane, feedback on this report. Have you had much?
Yeah, so it's actually attracted quite a bit of interest. I think it's really interesting. I think people really like to know how things work because that's, you know, that's the easiest way to learn how to manage a system is understanding it really well. So, yeah, big fan of people getting out and being really critical and looking at what they've got and what's actually responding. So there's a chance that this wet season could be really important too for, you know, keeping that grazing pressure relatively light and allowing for recovery, get some seed back into the system, and but really allow those individual plants to become really robust, get really good root systems so that they can survive not only the coming dry season, but, you know, the next dry period that we get.
That's Alison Kane, and we also heard from Chris Matern. They are pastoral production officers with the NT's Department of Industry. What has happened to the Mitchell grass on the Barkly? I'll put a link to Alison's article up on our website later on this afternoon.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.